The Lord be with you. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to John. Philip found Nathanael, and he told him, "We have found the one about whom Moses wrote in the law, and also the prophets, Jesus, son of Joseph, from Nazareth." But Nathanael said to him, "Can anything good come out of Nazareth?" And Philip said to him, "Come and see." Jesus saw Nathanael coming toward him, and he said of him, "Here is a true child of Israel. There is no guile in him." Nathanael said to him, "How do you know me?" And Jesus answered, "Before Philip called you, I saw you under the fig tree." And Nathanael answered and said to him, "Rabbi, you are the Son of God. You are the King of Israel." Jesus answered and said to him, "Do you believe just because I told you I saw you under the fig tree? You will see greater things." And he said to him, "Amen, I say to you, you will see the heavens opened and the angels of God ascending and descending like the Son of Man, on the Son of Man." The Gospel of the Lord. This person, Nathanael, is very interesting if you look at the scriptures. We know very little about him. He is clearly one of the 12. And the 12, interestingly, are named in Matthew, Mark, and Luke. John does not name the 12. Interestingly, John's gospel gives very little attention to the 12. Matthew, Mark, and Luke are very strong, the 12 tribes of Israel, the new Israel, 12 apostles. But not John's gospel. John's gospel, no mention of the 12. However, and he does not mention Bartholomew in the gospel of John. There is a tradition that Bartholomew was martyred. And the manner in which he was martyred was that he was skinned alive. That was a kind of a red martyrdom. And therefore, by the way, some of you have been to the Sistine Chapel. If you look at Michelangelo's chapter 25 of the Gospel of Matthew, the final judgment, down there at the bottom, if you see a picture of it, look for this, is an image of Bartholomew, and he's holding his skin because tradition has it he was flayed to death. It's rather interesting. He is honored especially in Armenia, because it's said that his martyrdom was there. Now, what's most interesting about this fellow is we know nothing. We don't know where he came from, nothing about him. But when we celebrate his feast, we're reading from the Gospel of John, where he is not mentioned. And we're reading about Nathanael in today's Gospel. And Nathanael is mentioned only two times in John's Gospel. He's mentioned here in the beginning of John's Gospel, where he is called by Jesus to be one of the 12. He's also mentioned in chapter 21, and there we are told that he comes from Cana. He also appears there in the first chapter of the book of Acts. He is one of those who witnessed the ascension of Jesus into heaven. And therefore, there's a strong tradition and a biblical commentary here that suggests that Nathanael is actually the same person as Bartholomew. Bartholomew meaning Bartholomai, son of Ptolemy, otherwise called Nathanael. So there's a very honored tradition and a biblical opinion that says Nathanael and Bartholomew were the same person. So that's a little insight into who this Bartholomew and Nathanael, who they really were. What's of interest to us by way of a teaching from this gospel is that Jesus offers, by way of commentary, speaking about Nathanael, I think maybe the greatest compliment he will give to anybody in his public life. And that is, he will look at this man and say, he is a true Israelite. There is no guile in him. I've always been fascinated by that. I mean, if somebody could look at my life or your life with deep insight now, the Son of God looking at you and say, but there's no guile in this person. Say, wow, that's somebody with extraordinary integrity. I mean, there's no manipulation, there's nothing hidden. We're not dealing with a mask, we're dealing with a real person. And that's an extraordinary compliment that Jesus pays to Nathanael here. And I've found it no place else in the scriptures would this compliment be given to anybody except Nathanael. He was a true son of Israel. What does this mean to us? Well, in ancient times, when a person went shopping in the marketplace to buy a vessel for the preparation of food, the scrupulous seller, if there was a crack in the vessel, would cover it over with wax. The unsuspecting buyer, thinking that this was an intact vessel without blemish, would purchase this and bring it home. And when it was placed in the preparation of food and the fire was applied to the vessel, the wax melted and the cracks appeared. Therefore, the ideal was to buy a vessel without wax. Now, the Latin word for wax is ceres, and the Latin for without is sine. You wanted to buy something, sine ceres, without wax, which gives us an English word, sincere. The sincere person is the person who has no guile, the reliable, predictable, truthful, transparent, honest person. That's the ideal disciple of Jesus Christ. It's not that you're perfect, by the way, but it's that you don't give the impression you're perfect. You're without wax. I mean, when you meet this kind of a special person that is sincere, their humanity appears. It's true here, Nathanael, in a cynical way. And he's from Cana. Cana's just, I'd say, maybe 5 miles from Nazareth. It's very close to Nazareth. I know some of you who are pilgrims have been to Cana, and then we went on to Nazareth. And yet, he says, well, Nazareth, you're from Nazareth? Can anything good come out of Nazareth? Nazareth was pejorative. And yet, even though he was imperfect, he was sincere. He was without guile. It's a good thing for us to think about. In our relationships and in the manner in which we treat other people, are we consistent with being disciples of Jesus Christ? Or are we disciples of Jesus Christ when we come to church, but then we'll go out and we'll judge people, or we'll reject people, or we'll be racist, or we won't care about the poor or the sick, we won't forgive people so easily? I mean, are we consistent? Is there a sincerity in us? That's a very probing question. I mean, I've looked at this so many times and say, wow, I wonder, when I come to die, whoever will give the eulogy, I hope it's not too long, would they say, he was a man without guile? Wow. Somebody could say that. That would be the greatest compliment you can give to anyone. Imperfect, but sincere. Wonderful. It's a good thought for the day. Amen. We pause now for a moment of prayer. And into our prayers we carry many people who are in crisis, genuine crisis these days, the people of Haiti, visited with this incredible, extraordinary earthquake and with the assassination of the president, and they're just chaos. So we'll carry them in our prayers. In Afghanistan, the troubled people are in great, great pain. So we'd like to remember them. Open our hearts. And when we pray for people in crisis, it should make us truly grateful. Thinking of people in crisis, we should journey through this day praising God, grateful for what we have. Amen.